It is 12:42. Welcome back to the KWMT Power Lunch. As promised, we've got Ray Jenkins on the phone. Good afternoon, Ray.
Hey, good afternoon, Dwayne.
Well,
it's
I appreciate
beautiful harvest day down there.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing up here. We've got a lot of the, well, most of the beans are out probably in our area, Ray, but still some corn left in the fields, so still some combines out there rolling today.
Oh, yes, and we're just kind of getting into the full-scale bean harvest down here in southern Iowa. So we're going to be working on beans for another 5, maybe 7 or 8 days.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're going to have perfect weather for that. We're going to actually turn a little bit cooler here heading towards the weekend, but really no precipitation. So it's that time of year where we're going to start to see those cooler nights and probably cooler days, too, coming up.
Yeah, probably the biggest issue for a lot of folks is the fact that these soybeans got excessively dry, and no good way around that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're hearing too. Hey, speaking of soybeans, I was out on the road last Friday, as you know, for Feed the Farmer, and boy, 11 o'clock hit and soybeans shot up, corn shot up, and the USDA WASDA report came out last Friday at about 11 o'clock and pretty bullish there right off the bat.
Yes, absolutely. And it really wasn't a change in the projected yields as much as it was a change in acreage for both corn and soybeans, somewhere between 700,000 and 1 million acres lost in each category. And, exports are pretty strong as well. And as you said, we had a sharply higher market there on Friday, something that we're not accustomed to seeing in most crop reports.
Right. I was going to ask you, you talked about that 700,000 to 1 million acres, and I saw derecho was kind of tied to that. Was that solely tied to derecho, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, there were some major losses. Actually, both of the Dakotas had some pretty sharp drops in acreage up there. So it is a host of factors. And I think the news that's coming out is that there are more farmers interested in trying to zero out some of this crop. So we may not have seen our final reduction in acreage.
Right. Now, what was the cause of the losses of acreage in the Dakotas then, Ray?
I think a lot of people took advantage of prevent planting when it was available up there.
Yeah.
And that was the main driver. Of course, we were dealing with substantially lower price structure when people were making those decisions. And when they had that opportunity to market good for prevent planting, that's what they did.
Yeah, weren't some of those acres up there too carried over into 2020 from the 2019 harvest season? Weren't some of those acres not combined before the new year?
Well, and that makes some interesting news fodder about what all transpired there. But you're exactly right. There was a crop being harvested in April, May, and I think maybe even early June up there.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy watching combines and planters roll side by side at the exact same time. So what about the corn market? Had a little bit of a reaction there, too, on Friday.
Well, certainly we've seen a lot of interest in the funds here recently, and December corn futures seem to have a strong affinity to try and reach the $4 mark. It got close within a penny or so, and now we've backed off 7 or 8 cents. But we're going to find here pretty soon in the next 5 to 15 days how easily it's going to be for the farmer to get this crop tucked away without crashing basis. and then we'll see where we go from there.
Right. Hey, the normally at this time we would know the numbers as far as crop progress report, but due to the Columbus Day holiday yesterday, those are delayed until this afternoon. So, any thoughts on some numbers? Any thoughts on some numbers that we might see later today, Ray?
Well, for Iowa, last week we had 25% of the corn crop harvested, and I'm going to say that we're going to be in the upper 40s to low 50s for a Iowa corn harvest number. Beans, we were at 55% last week, and I think we're probably going to be pushing 80 to 85% on today's report. Of course, we're lagging quite a bit down here in the South Central crop district. We only had 18% of the corn and 17% of the beans combined as of last week. But folks have made some pretty good progress, and we were out driving around in the lower part of the South Central District yesterday, and saw a lot of combines running.
Yeah, one of my Feed the Farmer winners a couple weeks ago, he told me that he actually held off on soybean harvest because he was going for that fourth alfalfa crop down there. He got a fourth cutting, and that kind of pushed him back about a week and a half or 2 weeks on getting out into the field to start soybeans.
Well, certainly one of the things that we saw yesterday is that people probably planted a little more hay ground this spring, and that hay just looks tremendous. It has the darkest green color I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he was saying, too. Weekly grain inspection report, thoughts maybe some corn going to China, but looks like it's going to Mexico on the report today.
Well, we continue to make good progress. Our corn exports are 4.3 million metric tons, and we were only at 2.5 a year ago at this time. And soybeans had a big number, inspected over 2.1 million metric tons. We're totaling up to 9 million so far for the marketing year, compared to a little bit over 5 million. So, you know, there's a reason why this basis has been strong, because the market feels the need to keep this pipeline as full as possible to take advantage of this situation with a lot of Chinese business going on.
Right. Hey, what are you hearing as far as fertilizer prices and so forth?
Well, you know, surprisingly, they've been quiet. I would normally be in the camp that says, hey, if we have a good harvest going on, And there's been some government money issued that would see some strength in fertilizer, but we're not seeing pretty much anything more than typical 3 to 5% ranges. We've actually got potash down about $10 a ton, anhydrous ammonia down 12. And on the flip side, both DAP and MAP are up 8 to 17, and we're seeing a little bit higher urea 1. So we're going to see if we get an early end to harvest, if people are going to line up to try to put some additional fertilizer on this.
Right. I have not seen very many anhydrous trucks on the road quite yet. That kind of surprised me, unless a lot of the suppliers were kind of stocking up, and maybe they're sitting there and prepared right now for that.
Well, I think a lot of people are eventually going to get anxious here, and let's hope that we can get this ground temperature down to where we can actually apply some anhydrous when we're supposed to.
Yeah, that's always a concern. Hey, what about some notes here, some economic development opportunities in eastern Iowa when it comes to soybean crushing?
Yeah, there's two items on the agenda there. One announced today, the business is going to be called Shell Rock Soybean Processors, just located in the industrial area outside of Shell Rock. Going to use about 110,000 bushels of soybeans per day, translating into about 38.5 million bushels. It's being led by Mid-Iowa Co-op, and there's going to be several other investors in that business. They intend to be able to start taking soybeans in the summer of 2022 and be operational for harvest that year.
Now, who will the end users be through this process?
Well, it sounds like about 25% of the production will stay domestic. And, of course, you're going to have there's a lot of feed mill demand in that part of the world. And then there's a connection to the Iowa Northern Railroad in that area, which will then further connect to the big BN and UP rail lines. So there's going to be both opportunities for domestic business and export as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how much of a role the railroads actually play in that, because I know in our region with the ethanol plants, I mean, the rail, when they were talking these plants, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, rail was one of the first things talked about.
Well, certainly things have changed. You know, I've been in this industry almost 30 years, and certainly I can remember when there was a lot of rail business even around Des Moines and that, and now that's all changed. It's much more of a highly truck market there.
Right, right. Hey, before we wrap up here, we got a few minutes. What about a grain market update? A lot of grain being put on the family farm right now, a lot being hauled to town. What do they need to be thinking about?
Well, I think a lot of folks need to be watching this soybean basis. The pace of harvest allowed the country elevator system to widen basis out substantially. This may be a situation where if you could just find a home for soybeans on your farm for 20 to 30 days, you might be really surprised how much basis appreciation you may be able to see. So, you know, you might want to consider leaving a little bit of corn standing in the field till early mid November.
Yeah, we're seeing anywhere from 59 to 60 cents basis here in our area. And ethanol, I mean, basis anywhere from 4 cents to 25 cents under right now.
Yeah, I expect that in the next 1 to 2 weeks that there's probably going to be a little further widening of corn basis, but I don't think it's ever going to get as wide as what people anticipated in early and midsummer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Hey, is there anything else you want to talk about here today, Ray?
Well, I did find another economic development.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was over in western Iowa. There's actually being what's called the Port of Blencoe being constructed over there. They're going to do some more barging on the Missouri River, something which had kind of gone out of favor 10 or 20 years ago.
And that is going to be headquartered right here at New Cooperative in Fort Dodge. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So that, a lot of opportunity there. Footprints kind of grown to the west here over the last 4 or 5 years. So that's probably just something that's going to play into their hand very well over on the Missouri River.
Yeah. Well, I think these things highlight that our crops are going to keep getting bigger. And we need to be able to capture some of this value-added demand that exists out in the marketplace.
Yep, that is key, no doubt about that. Well, Ray, as always, great to talk to you today, and hope you enjoy the next week, and we'll talk next Tuesday then if that works out for you.
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Ray Jenkins, the Iowa Corn Guy. It is 12:57, and let me take a quick break here. We'll come back with a market wrap right after this.